The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This week, we're talking to the man behind Pagani himself, Horacio Pagani, plus a toxic fire caused by a Tesla semi-truck, a paint too extreme for Ford's most expensive Mustang, and a 4Runner rival that gives us FOMO. But first, how a rare Ford prototype became a Pebble Beach casualty. Welcome to the Big Three. Hey, welcome back to the show. If this is your first time at the Big Three, welcome. We cover three big stories every week and also some smaller ones. Make sure to like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. If you like what you're hearing, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss next week's episode. How about that?
And tell your friends if you like it. We spread via word of mouth, like COVID. So tell your friends, breathe in their mouths.
Breathe into those
Let
mouths.
Let it catch on.
Spread the spores.
Joe Weber.
I've got FOMO.
FOMO.
I've got FOMO. I don't think that's going to catch on.
No, probably not. And Max Maddox.
What's up, Tiny Toe Gang?
Now,
TTG.
Dude, Tiny Toe Gang, definitely a smaller contingent, as we found out. We polled you guys, Big Toe versus Tiny Toes. Big Toe won in a convincing shutout. And just a landslide.
Just a reminder, the premise is, would you rather have 100 tiny toes on each foot or one large toe?
Yeah.
We did poll the listeners. However, I think the poll was a little rigged, Nolan.
Why is that?
I think that the clip that we selected features you heavily defending one big toe rather than 100 tiny toes.
Okay.
And I think that you skewed the results a little bit because I also received some DMs that were completely split down the middle, 50-50.
Do you think Nolan put his finger on the scale for that?
I definitely voted in it.
Oh, for sure.
I did not put my finger on the scale with the edit. And you know damn well I didn't. Last night when we were talking about putting a poll out, I was comfortably watching, I think, a YouTube video.
I'm not accusing you. I'm part of BTG.
Yeah.
I'm not TTG.
You're not accusing me, but you did posit the possibility.
Yeah.
And now I've got my
I thought he was throwing that out there.
Look, I've gone through both sides. There's big toe has its perks. So does 100 toes. But here's a few comments.
Okay.
This person says definitely 100 tiny toes. I'd make bank with my OnlyFeed account. 100%. 100 toes is way sexier than one toe. Hands down.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
What's up, Max? I think I'd rather have 100 tiny toes. I think it would be funnier and imagine the stability. That's something that people bring up a lot, the stability.
Let's get to some car stuff, I guess. Before we turn
into a foot
show.
Do you think you could drive better with one big toe or 100 tiny toes?
I think probably 100, yeah.
But
I will see
that thing is wide.
That's a wide. You'd have to get one of those big foot.
You could do heel toe, but it would just be toe toe.
Oh, you could toe toe, yeah.
Yeah.
No, dude. Nolan's got his one big toe. They call him lead foot one toe. He's nothing but pedal down all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. On Friday, I was driving home after work.
Yeah.
Long week last week.
As you do.
Driving down Lincoln, I saw someone driving the opposite way in a bright orange Lamborghini Urus SUV with completely black tinted windows. And that got me thinking, why? Why do you get the loudest color possible but demand privacy?
Because you let your car do your talking for you.
Well, no, I think it's a big contradiction. It's like if I went to Ralph's wearing assless chaps and a ski mask at the same time, that'd be a little strange, wouldn't it?
I disagree. I think if you buy a Lamborghini, you're rich and important, and therefore you don't want people to peer inside of your private life. Yeah. Example, Joe looks very normal right now. I think we can all agree, very normal red
super
t-shirt, super normal blue jeans, but he's wearing leopard print underwear under there, baby.
Yeah.
And that's for him to know and you to find out.
And I have like the Chaps version of underwear where it's assless underwear. So it's basically just like a little merkin on the front.
You would never know.
You would never know though.
I could be Glenn Powell. You wouldn't know, you'd know.
And you would also not know because of his impression, which as we've seen is very good.
I can't do it anymore. It's not as good as I thought. Seen it on in the edit last week. Not good.
I will tell you, it's great in person though. Yeah. When I'm 3 feet away. Yeah. So
I learned how to do Jack Nicholson's eyebrows though.
Oh, I'm sure this will translate well to audio.
It's like, oh, yeah. You get a squinch right here,
but yeah, then a little squinch.
But then like full.
Yeah, the little Kubrick snare.
Yeah. Anyways, we should probably talk about cars.
Yes, right? Let's talk about cars. Our first story this week, a priceless one-of-one Probe 1 Ghia prototype was destroyed in a trailer while leaving Pebble Beach. It caught on fire. You guys see pictures of this?
Dude, it's just a shell right now. But the aluminum looks great still, or whatever it is, steel.
Nobody knows what started the fire. Luckily, nobody was hurt. And the fire was contained. This car was valued at $1 million, which I had no idea.
Who valued it at that, though? Right?
The guy who took the insurance policy out.
Curious.
So this prototype was introduced all the way back in 1979 at the Frankfurt Auto Show and was designed to show what the 80s family car might look like. Previewed a ton of future technologies like touch-sensitive controls, guys, digital gauges, and an access car in place of keys.
Which Tesla does now.
Tesla does that.
Very interesting. Yeah, and I believe there were a couple of Ford Probe concepts. One of them kind of looked like the Sierra Cosworth that ended up happening. And then this one kind of ends up looking like the car from RoboCop, if you remember.
Oh,
the
very RoboCop-esque. SUX. Yeah.
Freeze, punk.
To quote Elon Musk, this is what Blade Runner would drive.
He said that?
He said that about the Cybertruck, yes.
Yeah, Blade Runner would have loved this.
Yeah.
This is what Star Wars would drive.
This has been at the Peterson Museum, I believe. We may have even seen this car a while back. Possible.
I do remember seeing this at the Peterson because they had the big UFO-style discs on the wheels.
Yeah.
That stuck out to me.
Oh, you mean the Bonneville wheels, dude? Salt flats? Salt flat wheels?
Yeah, you mean the Bonneville wheels? The Moondish caps, dude?
That's what I meant, yeah. I know that the production Ford that came out in the 90s was one of the first production cars designed by a woman, and she designed it for other women to drive.
Oh, the Probe.
The Probe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Concepts, I think, you know, I don't think they have a very long shelf life. I think sometimes they'll either go missing or get destroyed or something like that internally. So, I mean, it is sad when the concept car gets taken out like that, especially if, you know, someone's stewarded it for that long and taken care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was just, you know, it obviously doesn't start up that much.
No.
I'm wondering if some oil leaked out and, or maybe this... just some Probe haters out in Pebble Beach.
I
could have been.
I doubt that, but
I saw the crowd out there. Also, I'm so glad we're still talking about Pebble Beach because I don't think we talked about it enough. It feels last week.
Last week was so long. We were doing some high-low stuff, working on the Mustangs. It was so much stuff happened last week that it feels like forever ago that we went to Pebble Beach. And that was only last weekend.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It feels so long ago.
Well, luckily, that's not the only car fire that happened this week.
Thank God.
This past Thursday, around 3 a.m., a Tesla semi-truck ran off the I-80 around the Emigrant Gap in the Sierra Nevada Mountains in California. The battery then caught fire after crashing into some trees. This battery burned for several hours, causing a total road closure in both directions and a, quote, hazardous material situation thanks to all the toxic fumes.
Jeez.
You guys see some video and pictures of this?
Yeah, that's just the idea of that, all that battery smoke. Disgusting. Electric car fires, still very serious. A lot of departments aren't equipped to handle them.
Because this is a new technology, the fire departments are not super duper equipped. And I think training is now like becoming common on how to deal with these things.
Yeah,
I think these kind of fires probably won't be as big a deal in like 3 years, even next year, possibly. Just with the prevalence of EVs, I don't want to like come off sounding like, oh, it's like EV fires, we got to ban all these things from the roads. It's just kind of like something that happens with new technology.
Yeah, well, we did that video about Tesla fires last year, and we talked to some fire departments. They are doing training, but one of the issues is you can put the fire out mm-hmm. and just because of the nature of how the batteries work, that fire can reignite even days later sometimes. Yeah. So they just lithium, have to be.
Lithium creates its own oxygen supply. So it makes it super hard. Or burning lithium does.
Interesting.
Chemical reaction creates oxygen as well. And it's super hard to put out.
In a controlled setting, you know, they can deal with it. But, you know, we're also talking about being in the middle of the woods right now. Yeah. Probably maybe not super close to a fire department, and they might not have the resources to get over there and snuff it out the way that's you would. Also, it's a semi-truck, so it's huge.
I bet there's some companies working right now, fire safety companies that are like trying to figure this problem out, how to do this quickly, efficiently. Because otherwise, yeah, you're going to have fires burning for days.
I've been watching this trucker on TikTok, just this super old salt of the earth dude. Mm-hmm. And all he does is just complain about how everyone's got soft hands now and how back in the day they used to drive 1300 miles one day.
Yeah. But then you had truckers like falling asleep at the wheel and like crashing into other drivers.
Not this
crashing,
guy.
Like,
not this guy. So
they're like, trucking is like one of the forefronts of like labor rights in this country because they were working so long.
I think if you fall asleep, you got soft hands, brother.
What what about holding the steering wheel makes your hands hard?
Because you're shifting and you have a dual stick shifter.
And you, it's just super like.
Well, they cover them in sandpaper. Yeah.
But they also have to, you know, detach their trailer and do stuff like that and change a tire. I get it. But
man, I've seen some of those sleeper semis.
Yeah.
You got whole studio apartments in the back.
You got a whole goon cave in the back.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Tell me about soft hands.
Boy, you never had a lot, lizard. Those soft hands.
I wonder if they have to crash test those.
Yeah, probably.
For sure.
Yeah.
But they're probably like way less stringent than passenger cars, even though those things would take us out.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I was just talking completely out of my ass. I have no idea. They probably are very stringent. I did read one time, you know those little crash bars that are underneath semi-trailers? Like the trailer itself, and then there's like a bumper, like at the very end of it, there's like a little crash bar that goes down to keep you from going underneath the trailer, like smashing under and like being decapitated basically by the semi-trailer if you hit the back of a trailer.
That's got a name.
From what I've read online, a lot of them are not maintained super duper well.
Huh.
Or outright just like repaired wrong.
Yeah.
So they don't actually crumple, or like they do crumple and will decapitate you. I worry about that. When I'm driving behind semi-trailers every day.
It's called the Mansfield Bar.
The Mansfield
because,
Bar.
Because of the actress.
Jane Mansfield?
Yeah. She was decapitated she rear-ended a semi-truck.
Okay.
Oh, and so they mandated that
that's
this bar.
That's crazy that they named it after her because of that.
Damn. Ooh. That's brutal.
Super brutal. You can choose whether or not you want to include this in the edit, Mark.
Let's start talking about stuff that is going to stay in the edit, though.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So I was scrolling Instagram as I do late at night, holding my baby. And there's a really cool SUV that caught my eye. That's given me FOMO because we're never going to get it in the US. It's the Ford Everest Tremor.
Okay, tell me more.
It's about Toyota 4Runner size. It's powered by a 3-liter V6 turbo diesel, which is super sick.
Ooh.
It makes 247 horsepower and 443 foot-pound of torque.
Torquey boy.
You could put... So many tents on top of this thing.
You could put so many tents on it and rip so many stumps while people are sleeping in the tents up top. But unfortunately, we're not going to get it in the US, which is triggering my FOMO right now because I am looking at off-road stuff.
Well, you could, I mean, I've heard great things about the Ranger specifically. This is basically a Ranger with a diesel drivetrain.
It's so cool looking.
Yeah.
The Rangers has, they've got turbo four cylinders.
Talk about a bulldog. This is got haunches.
I think stonky.
Yeah. I think it looks pretty cool.
I like it.
It does look cool.
The more I look at excursions, the more I kind of want a Ford.
Are you still looking at excursions?
With one eye, one little wandering eyes looking at excursions.
Because I know there's another type of car that you were very, very close to buying this weekend.
I was going to buy a 335i.
Joe asked me if I was willing to go to Santa Barbara with him on Saturday, purchase a twin turbo 335i.
A well maintained old guy car, under 100,000 miles for a pretty good price. Mm-hmm. 6-speed manual, beautiful blue. I can't remember what the blue's name, but I was also looking at a green one in Arizona.
Mm.
The green was cool though.
I don't disagree that that is great value because it is, you know, twin turbo N54, good engine.
Yeah.
A little scary.
It's $4,500. Right? Right?
Nolan?
Let's go up this weekend, dude. So you want that, the excursion, you got the Z.
Yeah.
There's I'm a RAV4 in the mix.
Well,
you've got a really long driveway, so you could really stack them in there if you wanted
to. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah.
I love those long LA driveways. I just dream of having like six cars non-running just stacked in a line.
But back to the Tremor. I'm going to park my Tremor in front of my neighbor's house for 6 months at a time.
Last week, Ford said that the $325,000 Mustang GTD won't be available with the highly requested Mysticrome color. Why not?
Why not?
Because it's challenging.
Oh.
So for those of you that don't know, Mysticrome is a color shifting paint that debuted on the 2004 SVT Cobra. We've Super seen this sick. Color. We did a bumper to bumper a couple years ago.
Ford GT40.
Yeah, so we did the bumper to bumper. It was a Ford GT that had the paint color that was an extra $100,000.
Man, that guy loved to talk about his paint.
Well, paint was part of the personality of the car. Like that was why he wanted it and everything. It's kind of like Ford's version of Midnight Purple from the GTR.
Sure. Yeah.
But if you have a GTD, Ford will not paint Mysticrome because apparently the prep process is rigorous and requires an absurdly precise mixing procedure.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to have extra green in places that you don't want green.
Well, so the owner, Justin,
of the GT,
he like paid to get the Mysticrome and it was exclusive to that car.
Yeah.
And like legally, Ford couldn't use it on another GT, right?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was part of it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like a law, but they just said they wouldn't do it. Like part of what his price was guaranteeing that his was going to be a one of one and that no other GT was going
to
be painted.
Well,
that
I wonder
color.
If this has to do with that as well. I wonder if there's like an in perpetuity kind of deal that.
No, because you can add a different color into it.
Mm.
But this color was super exclusive back on the Cobra in the early 2000s. And Ford sent a person to like escort the extra paint back to the Ford headquarters because it was so coveted and exclusive. They didn't want it getting out. And then someone's just, you know, like painting their Pagani in Mysticrome. the leftover Mysticrome. Well, that would be so sick.
We're going to find out later if Horacio Pagani would be okay with that also.
Oh yeah.
Nice little teaser.
Like that. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Before we get to our interview with Horacio Pagani.
Or we call him Horacio because we're just on first name basis with him.
Yeah. Before we get to our interview with Mr. Pagani, I came in here yesterday, did some maintenance on Chloe's LS430 real quick, did some brake pads, and then went to change the oil. Everything was going smoothly. I cannot seem to change my oil without making a huge mess for some reason. I just mess up every time. I'd like the drain pan isn't lined up correctly. I misjudge the arc of the oil, whatever, when I'm draining it. I get under there. First sign of trouble I noticed. The drain plug was like pretty tight. And I was like, okay. I had to bust out like the half inch ratchet to like really get it off.
Yeah.
I know, right? And I was like, okay, that's kind of annoying. I hope they didn't like hit it with an impact gun or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time the oil was changed. I think like we had to take Chloe's car in. It had like the radiator went bad one like a couple months ago. So I think we had the oil change when it was in the shop.
Is this one big backdoor brag that you're such a good partner?
Maybe.
Nolan Nolan is a wife guy.
It's true.
Which is great. Which is, and I really like soon, that.
I mean, I will be an official wife guy. Yeah. I will officially have a wife next month.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys know the wife guy password?
I almost said the donut Wi-Fi password.
You hit up the entire Slack channel.
Bro, that's
Wi-Fi
a whole other thing. The printer and everything. Dude, anyway, I go to take the oil filter off. Usually not that hard to do, right? Go get both hands on there. I usually get a paper towel just for more gripping force. I try as hard as I can to twist this thing and it doesn't come off.
Yeah.
And I start yelling at the car, you know, get off, you mother, you know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I go to grab a big pair of pliers to now I'm getting serious. I'm like, okay, for some reason, Donut does not own one of those tools where you put the strap around the oil filter and twist it off, which we need to invest in. They're not that expensive. So anyway, I try again with the pliers. It doesn't work. The pliers are too small for the canister. It's a big oil filter. So I go for the forbidden technique, the screwdriver and the hammer to wrench it off.
Oh.
I bust, like I hit that thing through. I go, I break it loose. I'm like, hell yeah, home free. It's still too tight. I can't go all the way around. So I get it like 90 degrees and it won't go any further. So
your screwdriver's in the way now.
The screwdriver's in the way. I don't have enough leverage. I got to punch through again. And dude, it was on there so tight. I had to punch through it a second time and then put my screwdriver again through the first hole that I punched to ratchet it. And all I'm asking is, guys, oil techs, it's not a competition. We don't have to do this. You know, it's not like a contest to see who can tighten their oil filters on them. I was already feeling emasculated. I was listening to Chapel Roan. She was telling me that I can't love my woman right. Okay. Wasn't in a good mood. Anyway, finally got it off there. And I was just furious though at this. Whoever changed the oil last, I could not, did not understand.
If you're listening to this at Valvoline or Jiffy.
Please, yeah. Isn't it just like snug up and then quarter turn?
Yeah.
That's all you need.
It doesn't need to be super torqued.
No. What are we doing?
I mean, personally, I use about 80 foot-pounds on mine.
Well, luckily, the K&N one that I did put on there has like a hex on the end. So if that happens again, I can just put a wrench on there.
The impact on there.
Great. Actually, that's my compromise. How about we just do that for every oil filter?
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway. All right. So that was my rant of the week there. Now, let's get into the reason we're all here today, huh?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
2 weeks ago, we were invited to attend the reveal of the Pagani Utopia Roadster. And afterwards, we had the incredible opportunity to sit down for an exclusive interview with the guy behind all of Pagani's cars, Horacio Pagani. Please enjoy.
Also, we should note, he did not speak any English.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You will be listening to a translated version of the interview.
That's right.
We had to get the SpongeBob TikTok voice to replace his voice. That's the only thing we could afford. So enjoy.
All right. So we are here with Horacio Pagani at Car Week. Thank you so much for being with us here today. I'll just get right into the questions here. In today's market, what are the hypercar customers looking for? What specific features are your clients looking for in your cars these days?
I speak exclusively about our cars because there are different types of hypercars in the market, each with its own distinct philosophy. So each one interprets a little bit the taste of the particular kind of customer. The customer of a Pagani wants a sophisticated car, but at the same time, simple. It's a very light car. Our customers don't look so much at whether the car has 1,000 horsepower or 2,000 horsepower. It's a question we never even get asked. They don't even push to take the limiters off to do more than 350 kilometers per hour. So it's a very refined customer. It's also a customer who participates a lot in the birth of his car. So it's somewhat the customer who comes to us because he wants a tailored suit.
It was mentioned previously that 70% of clients requested a manual transmission and that the car was not originally designed for one, and it adds a lot of complexity and cost. What do you think is the best transmission for the Utopia?
The manual transmission for people who maybe used a car with a manual transmission as a boy or a young man is kind of going back to the basics. Then, you know, with these cars, it's not like you use them every day. Maybe you take it on Sunday and go for a ride. Then having the manual transmission is like being more connected to the car. But if you're going to go to the track, though, if you're going to go fast, it's evident that the paddle shifter is a faster, more performance shifter. But when you're taking the Sunday drive, you're trying to be you and very much in touch with the car, so you're trying to feel it. The fact that you feel it with the steering wheel, with your butt, but also this operation of mechanics, of knowing that you're putting the gear in, that behind you're connecting with your hands, all of this power, with the gearbox, with the engine. In short, it's a special feeling.
I have a question about the naming conventions. Normally, Pagani cars are named after wins. The Utopia is the first that is not named after a win. Where did the naming convention come from?
The name Zonda comes from a very unruly wind, very bad. For people who live in the area where the Zonda wind blows, the Zonda is not a great wind. And it's not very loved by the Argentines where Zonda winds blow because it's kind of like a desert storm. It generally does some damage. It sounded good in all languages, though. It was a strong name. And then it was kind of like a crazy horse. Whereas Huayra is a wind god. Instead, it's the complete opposite of Zonda because the story says that when this wind blew, it emptied a lake, typical in Bolivia. It emptied this lake and watered the fields and brought good. So precisely the opposite between one wind and the other. I liked both stories, but it's not that we want to bind ourselves to winds necessarily. I don't care about the wind at all. Utopia has its own rationale. There are so many reasons why this car is called Utopia.
Questa macchina si chiama Utopia.
Your relationship with Juan Manuel Fangio, was he sort of a mentor? Can you talk about your experience about meeting Juan Manuel and how you became friends?
He was undoubtedly an idol for all of us Argentines. He was the first to win a Formula One World Championship 5 times, but he stopped racing when I was really a child, so I have no memory of him racing because he had stopped racing in the early 1950s. But he was an extraordinary character. When I was in my early 20s, I made a race car, a Formula 2, competing for the Argentina team. And through this car, I met Oreste Berta, who was, I think, the best Argentine car designer of all time. And I became friends with Oreste. And Berta was very close with Fangio. And so through Berta and through the car I had made, I got to Fangio. And when I met Fangio, I immediately realized that he was a man who looked at you and saw the future. He was a very humble but very intelligent person with a steady gaze, precise, a very quiet man. And I must say I was very privileged to have become his friend and that he believed in me, that he put me in touch with Lamborghini, with Ferrari, with others, and especially with Mercedes. For that, I am infinitely grateful to him and the teachings he gave me. They are people who have built Huayras in the garden and the house.
Very cool.
You know, I have a question relating to Ferrari. So Ferrari famously sues people and files legal action against people who modify their vehicles. And I'm curious, when it comes to Paganis, how would you feel about customers taking creative liberties with the cars that you sold them?
It's hard for you to get into modifying a car, and when you modify it, it loses its value. Today, a Zonda costs 20 times the original value. Last Friday, with my children, I bought a Zonda F Roadster and paid about 17 times the original price. So why does one set out to modify a car and lose millions?
So if we wanted to build our own Pagani, we have the stamp of approval. Cool.
I guess looking back at your career so far, what do you feel when you look back on it and the things that you've achieved and what kind of satisfaction do you have? It's just an incredible career so far.
I always had a policy in my life, a strategy that was to live in the moment. So I'm happy with what I did. I made a lot of mistakes. The mistakes I made, I try not to make twice. However, I am always grateful because life has given me more than I deserved. So I am always very, very grateful. On the level of friends, on the level of family, on the level of work colleagues, I am happy. Of course, you become bigger, life becomes bigger, and the relationships with life become bigger.
That's awesome. Fantastic. That's beautiful. I will take that to heart. Truly, that's really great advice.
We love working together. We love our company. On the note of evolution, I think one last question, Anand, is where do you see the future of Pagani, and is there ever going to be an electric Pagani?
Allora,
let's start with the electric car. We don't have any prejudice towards the electric car or the hybrid car. From 2016 to 2017, we created a team to make electric cars. So even the best people in Pagani got to work on this project. We also asked for help from HPP, which is the company that creates the Mercedes Formula One cars. We interacted with them. We interacted with Lucid, an American company with a lot of technology. We invested a lot in this project. Ultimately, however, no customer is interested in this car, so we cannot do projects just for us, for fun, or for our ego. We have to make things that a customer can buy. We are a small family company, so we can't afford to spend hundreds of millions on something the customer won't buy. The customer in our segment is not interested at the moment. So we are continuing our research activities. However, we cannot invest more than what we have invested. The customer is not interested. For example, Leonardo, Christopher's brother, has used Tesla for many years. I now have a Lucid. They are cars that are very good for the everyday car. They are cars that are also very good for Mercedes. Obviously, with all the restrictions because of the infrastructure, you can't always find a place to charge it, etc. But in themselves as cars, they are very fast and they have beautiful acceleration. They are stunning cars. We have, I don't know, because of politics, I don't know if you wanted to speed things up in Europe too much. In my opinion, the process is a little bit slower. You must give it time for it to work well, because otherwise, I'm afraid we will kill the traditional car industry. We won't give the car companies time to make an excellent electric product, and the Chinese, who started 20 years before us, will really become the car factories of the world. So I would make things go more slowly in general.
In general.
Super cool to be able to talk to him. I think afterwards, after the interview, we all kind of agreed that, not agreed, but reminisced about watching or seeing the Pagani Zonda on Top Gear.
Yeah. Super cool.
I thought that was super cool that this one segment on Top Gear was so influential like that.
Wow. Yeah. People come up, donut fans come up and they're like, oh, I started watching after this one video. And I remember feeling the same impact of that video even when I was working here. And it's really fun to have a shared experience like that and be have a moment with someone that you don't know. Just to talk about us some more.
Yeah, let's make it about us.
Having said that, I think it's really cool that we had this opportunity, and huge thanks to the Pagani
team
for reaching out to us and getting us in Car Week and stuff like that.
And so, thanks to Joe for buying me a shirt from H&M because I'm in the process of moving and didn't have any button-up shirts.
Yeah. Did you ever get the stolen detector off?
No, I was trying to get it off with screwdrivers yesterday. Because the little thing that's they put on shirts so you don't steal them was still on the shirt that Joe gave me.
I paid for it. I'll show you the receipt. Mark, put the receipt right here.
All right, so that's our show. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you very much to Pagani and Mr. Pagani himself for allowing us the interview there. That was such a privilge. Thank you very much. Yeah. And thank you for listening. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. Or if you're listening, give us a 5-star review on the platform of your choice. Follow the boys at Max Maddox, at Joe G. Weber. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes if you'd like. Big thanks to the crew, Edgar Grajeda, Mark Schroeder, Audrey Holden, Gavin Kinzel behind the cameras. And again, thank you for listening. We will see you next week.